Rocket Punch Podcast, episode 7.
Rocket Punch.
I don't know if we're going to be doing that anymore.
We did it in the first episode.
Yeah, it's because that was the first episode. We needed to have something to pull people in.
Okay, then. I'm a Fildy Monkey. This is my comrade, Wing Zero.
Yep.
And every week we do a podcast related to cartoons and video games.
Bringing you all the latest news from yesterday.
Yep. And first of all, I want to give a shout-out to all my friends who I've linked my mysterious real-life profile to.
Yeah, he's very popular on the Facebook.
Yes. Thanks for spelling that out. All right.
Yeah, I don't have a Facebook. I never have. I never would. Don't have any friends, so.
You have friends. I'll be your friend.
Oh, you're my friend. And then I know like 3 other people.
William Murderface is on Facebook. You can be friends with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't even get into his, like, do they have top 10 lists on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't even get into like the top 30.
Okay. So let's start out. Actually, before we start, we have some exciting Rocket Punch-esque news.
For the first time ever in Rocket Punch history, we got an email!
Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Finally, about goddamn time. It only took us 7 hours worth of podcasting to get an email. In 2 months. Ugh. I can't, it's a good moment for the podcast.
It is. I'm very excited for this email, which I'm about to read right now. It is from RagingStorm789@hotmail.com.
Who is also T-Zock the Griffin on SNK Capcom.
Sup, Zero. This T-Zock from SNK Capcom Forums.
Hi, T-Zock.
Right, this Kozichi keeps saying how you don't get emails for the podcast of yours.
You ruined it, T-Zock. I can't even say that anymore. Thanks a lot.
So I'm rewriting what stuff you may want to talk about. Movies. How about talking about upcoming movies this summer, such as Hancock?
Don't know what that is.
The Dark Knight.
I know that's the Batman.
And the recent Iron Man movie. Animation. House and Ultimate. Claymore. Akagi. Classic 80s animation. Darkwing Duck and such. Games. Final Fantasy. Fatal Fury. Street Fighter. Crash Bandicoot. Spyro. And Jack and Daxter. Yeah, a few things to consider for future ones. Great podcast. Hope you guys keep bringing out more. Peace out!
Well, thank you very much for the email, T-Zock.
Thank you very much. And I think we're going to be taking more of your suggestions right now. What are we doing this week, Wing Zero?
This week's video game topic is none other than the fan-favorite Street Fighter.
Yeah. There you go.
And what are we doing for our animation topic this
week? We'll be reviewing our first Studio Ghibli film.
Yes, but it's not a Miyazaki film.
It's not a Miyazaki film, so Miyazaki fans, get out of here. We're not talking about you today. Today we're talking about my man, Isao Takahata, and his film, My Neighbor's Ayamada, from 1999.
For those of you who don't know his other works, I know he's definitely done Grave of the Fireflies,
yes.
Which is completely opposite direction as far as directing for this title. Grave of the Fireflies is a sad, depressing movie, this one is very, very upbeat.
Actually, interesting note, Grave of the Fireflies was originally released as a double feature with My Neighbor Totoro.
Right, they said that's why it didn't get as many views.
People came for Grave of the Fireflies because that was based on a book, a very popular book at the time.
Right.
While Totoro was... Well, Totoro's awesome, but,
yeah,
you know...
I haven't seen it because it's one of the... and it's a very childish
movie. You haven't
seen
My Neighbor Totoro?
It's specifically for children. I haven't seen all of Nausicaa either, but I'm saving those for a very, you know, when I absolutely need to be cheered up.
You haven't seen Totoro?
Like I'm saying, I need to save it for when I need it. And you can't just watch these movies, you gotta save them.
Nausicaa isn't exactly a happy film.
It isn't, but it's still a good work of art. It's a great movie.
Yes.
Alright,
so let's begin with the news. And with animation news, there's not much this week, but there are a few interesting notes. First note, recently, Marvel released a trailer for the Wolverine and the X-Men cartoon coming in 2009.
So Wolverine's getting his own cartoon?
Well, the
X-Men. Wait, that was the X-Men Evolution, like, branch off, wasn't it?
It looks like X-Men Evolution.
I think it's set in the future. It's like 5 years after or something like that.
Really?
It's gotta be, dude. I've seen the trailer.
So there's a trailer out there which you can easily find by typing in Wolverine and the X-Men, and it looks pretty good.
I think they know how to find whatever they need to find.
It looks pretty good for X-Men. X-Men doesn't really have a very good cartoon rap.
I don't know. I liked Evolution when it was on.
I liked Evolution too. It's just the 90s cartoon last for so long. It was...
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a very long time. That aired on Fox back in the day.
Yeah.
How far did they get? I remember they had who was the oldest?
I never watched the blue dude. Cartoon,
you never really watched them?
I didn't like it.
They weren't animated all in America. I know that for sure.
Well,
like there was a Japanese intro. Did you see that thing?
I've seen that.
Howl at the Moon.
Well, most things aren't animated in America.
Yeah,
it would require a lot of money, and people aren't going to do that kind of work.
Much rather just outsource it
to Korea.
Oh yeah.
All right. So, and another Marvel-based news, they would be doing a series for 6 to 8 year olds called the Marvel Superhero Squad.
That sounds pretty good.
Well,
we don't have enough squads.
Well, it sounds like an interesting idea. But do you remember Baby Looney Tunes?
Yeah.
Do you remember what that was based off of?
That was based off of the Looney Tunes, which was awesome.
Yes.
And, that's just a kid's cartoon. I mean, if it's for little kids, let the little kids have their show. What's our, we got nothing to do with that.
Okay. I'm cool with that. Let's see. What else? There's not much else animation news besides that reboot rumor going around.
Ah, yes, the reboot rumor. Go over to reboot.com and all you get is a countdown. I think it's down to 20 days. And in 20 days, hopefully I won't be extremely disappointed, but something's going to happen. No idea what.
You know, you posted a link for that, and you were like, is anyone excited for the reboot?
Yeah, and the only person who replied was you.
And you know what I said?
You said no.
No. I wasn't a big fan of Reboot.
I don't know. It was on. I saw it.
I saw it. I thought you liked Reboot.
Reboot was good towards the end. At the beginning, it was very, very kiddie, and they made it more... I'm not going to say more adult, but it was kind of like more on the edge and extreme. It was on Toonami. I remember that. I
saw Toonami was always on the edge. Now it's on the edge of extinction.
It's about to fall off the edge.
Of the cliff.
Yeah. Where it belongs now. Hey, I don't like to say that. We don't need Toonami anymore. So hopefully it'll be like maybe a movie or a TV series. I don't know. I have no idea what it could be.
All right. There's not much other news this week. Nothing that I could really note in this podcast. But I have a few... the things I'd like to note. First of all, I found this awesome website recently called the Journal of Cartoon Over and Analyzations. I found that over on Cartoon Brew.
And so it's basically just people with too much time on their hands, right?
Over analyzing cartoons. Their article just says bestial sexuality in He-Man and She-Ra.
Well, that was that everyone was thinking that.
And the secret identity of Dr. Claw.
Who is Dr. Claw? Was he a robot?
He was chief. He was,
He had to be the chief because he's the only person that knows at all times where Inspector Gadget is.
That's
the only person, yeah. I agree with them on that.
Okay. And, their website is, this is a long website. CartoonOverAnalyzations.com.
Yeah, that's something to stretch.
And another bit of note. Next week, there might not be a podcast because we're off to ASAN. We are off to...
Which is short for...
Anime Central.
Which is a giant anime convention, and we're going to be having fun.
Having fun. No Rocket Punch panel. At least this year.
Not until we're popular enough. Not until more people start listening to us. But, I'm thinking maybe shouldn't we ask SNK Capcom if anyone's going to be at this thing?
Is there anyone on SNK Capcom or anyone that's
Shout out. If you're in the Chicagoland area and you're going to Anime Central 2008,
be on the lookout for us.
Meet us in the video game room. You know where it is. That's all I got to say about that. Well, we won't be there the whole time.
I'll be the fat guy there.
You'll be the fat guy and I'll be the skinny guy with too much hair. Unless you get a haircut by then.
You're fine pretty easily.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We'll try and do something, but no guarantees.
But if anyone wants to bring the DS, I'll be glad to beat you in Tetris or Jump Superstars.
Or I could destroy you in Smash Brothers if anybody wants to play me in Brawl.
Well, I remember the last time that you played Smash Brothers there.
Did I win or not?
You won.
Oh, okay.
But you made kids cry.
What? They challenged me? I'm like, hey, would you like to play a game? It's like, sorry, I'm too good at Smash Brothers. You wouldn't even have a chance. And I just demolished them. I walked away with a smile on my face and my hands in my pocket, and there was a freeze frame.
Ooh.
That was great. I do that just... I don't know. I get some kind of sick pleasure out of beating people in fighting games. I really do.
You really do.
Take that for losing in a game you never played before. Ha!
We'll talk about this later with our Street Fighter review, I guess. Well, on to the video game news. Wing Zero?
All right. Let's see. What I want to start with. This week, if you have a Nintendo Wii and you haven't done it already, go over to the Nintendo Wii Shop channel, and for free, you download the new Nintendo channel. And what this is the main feature is you can download Nintendo DS demos.
Yeah.
Finally, so now those stupid kiosks are basically useless over at the Best Buys. Not like I used them before, but now I'm going to get some use out of these demos. What else? They let you recommend games that you've played before.
Really?
If you have at least 1 hour of gameplay time on your... on a game on stored on your Wii, you'll be able to recommend, say, you know, it's really good. There's like a slide bar, and you choose between really bad, really good, whatever you want. Let me think. They have trailers for games. I don't know. It's just like a commercial channel. I'm sure you could probably watch commercials on it, too.
I've checked that channel. They actually do have commercials.
Awesome, awesome. I haven't gotten it yet because I've been really busy, but it's an interesting thing that I think personally should have been there a long time ago.
Well, the whole WiiWare concept where they're going to be releasing these games episodically onto the WiiWare channel is should have started with the release of the Nintendo Wii.
Yeah, probably, because the Xbox Live arcade thing kind of got a jump on them, didn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know, but Nintendo has the whole virtual console thing in the first place anyway.
Yeah, but... when I wanted a Wii, one of the things I wanted was movies. Like, the concept of the virtual console was very nice. I'm enjoying the games that I've gotten from it, but I'd rather be trying out new games that are based for the console.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe they'll get some use out of it now. One cool thing that I saw is Japan, apparently there was some kind of contest, and they went to, I think, like, high schools or colleges or something, and people that wanted to design a Nintendo DS game, they pitched it to Nintendo. And Japan's Nintendo channel, they have four like homebrew Nintendo DS demos from these people who are trying to get into the industry.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that's a really cool thing. I'd love to see that come out in America, but you know, time will tell. We won't actually know until it happens. All right, what else we got here? Apparently, now this is a rumor, but it's been a rumor in the making for a long time. IGN basically said, you know, we can't confirm it, but, you know, it's gonna happen. And, basically what it is Kid Icarus, the Nintendo and Game Boy game about the angel, is getting a new Nintendo Wii game, apparently.
Apparently.
Apparently. Rumor. Big rumor. And, supposedly Factor 5 is developing it. And I think like 1 or 2 weeks ago, I actually mentioned Factor 5. They are the guys that made the Rogue Squadron games on the Nintendo GameCube, the Star Wars spaceship shooters, and they recently made Lair on the PS3.
How is that?
Lair is bad. The Star Wars Rogue Squadron games are good. So, but those had a lot of shooting in them. So I honestly, if their main thing is shooting stuff, where from a side scroller, is it just going to be like Metroid Prime?
Who knows? I'm like, we don't know about this company.
We don't. Yeah, we don't know
what
direction
this company can work with these kind of games yet.
It's completely out of the blue, really. I thought Retro Studios would be doing it since they brought Metroid Prime. The Metroid series.
Well,
back.
I don't understand why you think Retro would be a better choice for this, considering they turned the Metroid series, which was a 2D side scroller, into
which
a
was 3D. Also Kid Icarus is a side scroller.
Into a 3D shooter, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying
it was excellent.
I don't understand how you equate the idea of using Retro.
Well, I don't know, because on one hand, Retro Studios, they took a Retro title, literally. They took the Metroid series, which hadn't had a game since Super Metroid, and then they made an absolutely excellent game. So reimagining a new series, I thought, would be right up their alley. But apparently Factor 5 is doing it, and I really don't know enough about their work. It could be totally bad, it could be great.
But one thing up to note about these, there's been some concept art going around the internet, and he looks like a Disney character.
Not the Mickey Mouse kind of Disney
but
character.
But like the Hercules kind from the early late 90s.
Yeah, I don't know, they aged him up, they made him look like some 18 or 20 year old with like belts and stuff. You know, it's just kind of like they made him really manly. He doesn't even look like I know in Brawl he looks different than he does on like the original games.
Yeah.
But they took that like one step further and they made him like really manly looking. And I don't know if that's a really good reimagination.
But we haven't seen anything of the supported game, so really it's all out in the open.
Well, you know, hope for the best. What can I tell you? Let's see, what else we got here? Anybody who wants the Skies of Arcadia sequel? Actual good news this time. I'm not yanking your chain. Apparently, Sega On's blog, they are saying, and these are the people that gave us the Sonic Unleashed news. They broke that first.
Ah.
They are saying that a Skies of Arcadia sequel is going to be shown in some form at the Tokyo Game Show coming up.
Well, the Sonic Unleashed thing was just as much a rumor then, so...
Yeah, but they were the first people to report on it. Even Sonic Cult, which is, like, nothing but Sonic news, and they have, like, really great ties with things before they happen, had no idea on that. So I think they've got some pretty good sources. I don't want to get my hopes up too bad, because I love Skies of Arcadia to death. That and Final Fantasy IX, and I'd say Chrono Cross are my favorite RPGs. And if a sequel comes out, or like a spin-off or a remake, I'm all for it. As long as, who were the people who made that game? Overworks or something like that?
You wouldn't know this.
It was some Sega subsidiary. I can't remember.
They also did
the Shinobi game on PS2.
Ooh.
Yeah, but I don't know. That game's not terrible. That was after... I honestly can't say. If it's, like, again, if it's good, it's good. You know, I got hopes for it. But, hopefully it won't be like that Nights into Dreams sequel that we had recently.
I have not played any of Nights.
I will sit you down with the PS2 remake that was only released in Japan. We will play that. That is an excellent game. You'd enjoy it. It's like the last good Sonic game. Because it was made by Sonic Team before they split up.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, what else we got here? Famitsu Magazine or Korokoro Magazine, I can't remember who it was. They announced a new gigantic crossover game called X-Edge. And it has Capcom characters and Bandai characters and Namco characters and Innis characters and other characters from another company that I don't even know. And this looks just like a gigantic crossover game. And it looks like an RPG like Super Robot Wars.
Well, I'm not a fan of these series in general, but I say to fans, like, have fun with this.
Yeah, I say go for it. But the problem is, I don't see it coming to America at all.
Because of the licensing.
Yeah, I mean, if Namco X Capcom, which was a crossover in the very same vein, it was on PS2, that was also a strategy game, did not come to America, and that was only two companies, there's no way in hell five-company crossover game for PS3 is going to come to America. There's just no chance of it because of it.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's disappointing, but, you know, hopefully it's got some English in there or something, because that PS3 is region-free. From what you hear. Well, you know, I don't have a PS3, I wouldn't know, okay. But that's what I hear about it. Okay, what else we got for video game news? Last piece of video game news. I had a big problem with Kotaku this week.
I read about that, but on the site.
Yes, I did. Apparently, Kotaku ran a story on their site, as, you know, they normally do, and they were talking about SNK Playmore's customer service. Now, apparently this guy who's doing the report called up SNK Playmore, who's an extremely small company. They are very small, like smaller than Innis or...
20, 30 people?
It's small, dude. It really is. Like, after the... you know how SNK went bankrupt in the 1990s,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they went through this whole thing. They pulled out of America in, like, 1999. And then when they finally came back, I'm like, yes! Thank you. Oh, you know, I was really surprised that they, you know, stuck with America again. And now they got people giving them all these problems. They don't need this. What the dude did is recently, like a year ago, I guess, SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters Clash for DS, which is a bad game. I'm not going to say it's good. It's definitely not. As much as I love SNK.
We're not going for brownie points here.
I'm not going for brownie points. I love SNK games, but when I see a bad game that they do, you know, like that, which I can't forgive it. Anyway, bad game, but to make a bad game worse, there's a certain point in the game that if you beat the game, then you go on like New Game Plus or something like that, and you talk to a certain person and you need to continue the game, it will just freeze up the game.
Ooh.
And SNK saw this, you know, they're like, well, you know, we love our fans. We're definitely going to have to fix this. So for, I think, at least 6 months, maybe a year, they ran a replacement program on their website. They're like, just ship your game to this address, you know, at our headquarters, and we'll give you a free copy, you know, to fix the problem. And this guy from Kotaku, he calls up SNK, is like, hey, I got a game that's broken. You guys need to return it. And they have, like, no customer service in the first place. Because they're very small. I doubt they have even, like, five people to really mess with this
stuff. And he called the president out.
Yeah, and he doesn't go through the... He doesn't even go through that. He talked to Ben Hartman, the president of SNK Playmore USA, and he's like, hey, listen, I need you to replace a game of mine that's broken. And he doesn't mention even what game it is, you know, or what the problem is. And he was very, like, condescending and, like, arrogant about it. He's like, you know, I got this game. You guys got to replace it. And Ben Hartman, you know, God bless him, he actually... put up with this. He leaves him a message and he's like, listen, hey, you know, I'm not going to give you a bunch of bull. Here's the story. We don't do replacements for specific games. If you got a problem, just return it and, you know, to whoever you bought it from. And it's like, unless, you know, it was that SNK Cardfighters game, there was a recall for that. And, you know, just we'll do what we can, I guess. He didn't seem like he really wanted to deal with it. I wouldn't either. Because he was very indirect about what his problem was. And, you know, he left a message on him. And it's just this dude from Kotaku trying to rile up a small company that does their best. You know, they may not make the best games, but they have some fun ones.
Well, we don't know the full story on what happened.
We know a lot of it.
We know a lot of it. But
all right, well, back to that. I think it's just a bunch of bull. Kotaku's been running stories that aren't related to video games. Did you hear on... I was on Dig.com recently. And
yeah.
They were like... A member of Kotaku, you know how you have to sign up to put comments? Banned from Kotaku.com comments for posting this comment. And I clicked on it, and it's like, way to report on something non-video game related, guys. And then it says, this dude was banned from this reason. And then you click on it, and you see his comment, and I was just laughing.
What did he say?
He said, way to post on, you know, something not video game related. It's like, oh, wow, this is really... pertaining to video games. He said something to that vein, and they banned the dude from that from their comments. And I was just laughing, like, good job, Kotaku! Awesome!
Well, what I don't understand with these news sites on the internet is that they can go on, and they attempt to impersonate this concept of professionality.
Which they're not. I think it's just a bunch of bums on that.
But then when they do something that's unprofessional, their scapegoat is, well, we didn't know... We're just a website.
I don't know. It's just a bunch of convoluted stuff. Like, I understand, like, if you're a dude writing on a website, you have a deadline. Maybe put up some fun, interesting video game thing. Like remember that Nintendo that was the cartridge that was made for Nintendo. Something in that vein. Or, like, maybe, you know, like you got a deadline. Or maybe there's no news that day. Put something like that. But do not freaking go up in small companies' faces and do their best. And just mess with them to try and get them riled to get some stupid news like this. You know, shame on Kotaku. I know they don't do well anyway, and the opinion on them isn't very positive. But, you know, this draws a line. I am fully anti-Kotaku now.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like them at all.
Well, there's this one guy, and...
It's not just like, that, dude!
I have a dislike for what Kotaku does as well, but... One guy?
Well... I don't know, it's just
Is it because he tried to garner sympathy with the way he presented himself?
I don't know, it's just... Because
we never mentioned that after he did this, he posted up an article on Kotaku, basically relating to the situation, but...
He was doing stuff that he shouldn't have done. How hard is it to go on Google.com, type in SNK Card Fighters Clash... glitch, or, you know, replacement program or something. Because the dude claimed that he couldn't find any information on it, which I think is complete garbage. It takes you 1 minute to find out how to get a new copy. And they're not even running that replacement program because they gave us, like, a whole year or two. And, like, they're still willing to replace a copy of the game for it. You know? They're just... I don't know what else to say about that. I've said everything I can say. Alright, well, I guess let's move on to our animation thing for this week.
Alright, as we stated before, we would be reviewing My Neighbor the Yamadas from 1999. by Isao Takahata. And Isao Takahata isn't as well known as Hayao Miyazaki when it comes to Studio Ghibli.
But he's still excellent.
He's still very good. He's in a very different style. Some of the films he's done are Grave of the Fireflies, Only Yesterday, and Pompoko. And in 1999, he did this film which very much went away from not only the story, the way that Studio Ghibli presents stories, but the way that Studio Ghibli presents its art style and its animation.
Speaking of which, isn't Miyazaki's next next work going to be very similar to this?
On the cliff?
Yeah, I heard it was going to be watercolor.
Yes, I've heard that.
So maybe he drew a little inspiration from one of his co-workers, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the thing about the watercolors in this film, which I guess I'll just go into it now, this was Studio Ghibli's first fully computer digital film.
Right, because they drew every single frame by hand. And they still pretty much do to
They
this
still
point.
Do it. It's just to say that to get that watercolor style in this movie, they used computer.
Right, I could understand how hard that would be to do.
Now, before we go into anything else, let's talk about what this movie is about. It's basically about this family, the Yamadas, which consists of the father, Takashi, the mother, Machiko, their son and daughter, Noboru and Nonoko, the grandmother, Shige, and their little dog, Poopy.
Yeah, well, that dog's in two scenes.
Well, that's true.
Still.
And it's basically about all these little everyday adventures that the family has.
Yeah, it's relatable. It's very simple.
It's very simple.
It's almost kind of I'm going to say this again, Azumanga Daioh almost, where you have these short stories, and they're very, you can relate to them, and they're just wacky, and they're they're like that.
And it's based on this Japanese comic strip, which the Yamadas, something to the point. The Yamadas.
Yeah, so instead.
And it's a very simplistic style,
I don't know, it's simplistic, it's it's drawn out. Even in the opening sequence, they.
Well, I'm talking about that. No, go ahead.
Well, in the opening sequence, you see a character being drawn onto the paper and onto the movie film or whatever, and then they draw the dog. And then, the background gets colored in with brush strokes or whatever. And the entire art style is very, very nice. I like it. It's watercolors. If you played the video game Okami on PS2, it has a very paper feel, that video game. I can compare it to compare it to this because they both have a very similar art style, I'm gonna say.
Okay. And as we said, it's just these little stories about their everyday life. One of them's about...
It's a slice of life.
One of them's...
What, is that the wrong thing to say?
I'm going to.
Sometimes I say things that I don't know. I hear things and then I blurt them out and I assume that's the right thing to say. I'm lucky about half of the time. All right,
so there's one sequence in the opening where the little daughter, Noriko, gets lost in a mall.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure that's probably happened to
it's
like
probably,
every
it
family.
It happens to a lot of people. But the thing to note about this is she doesn't think she's lost. She thinks the rest of her family is.
My family got lost. They're so irresponsible.
And best part about this is she's just sitting there being as relaxed as she can. They're sitting in the car trying to get back to the mall, all worrying and all yelling at each other.
Yeah, I mean, it really does give you the feeling of, wow, this could actually happen. This is an actual family.
This is a real family.
Yeah.
This is a very Japanese film in the respect that it has a lot of this, mythology put in.
What do you mean?
They had that scene where the grandmother is imitating the axe, the myth of the golden and silver axe.
Oh, right, right. I was talking about how in Zelda you threw an item into the pond and the angel comes out and it's like, did you have this golden item or this regular item?
Which is how we're more acquainted with the story.
Yeah, I don't know any...
I can't believe that!
Yeah, well, I don't know... Has that shown up in any other Japanese medium besides this and Zelda that you know?
Well, it's a Japanese myth.
Okay, I'm not acquainted with ancient Japanese myths. Excuse me.
Okay, and it's just a very slow, realistic portrayal of family life.
It's a good feel good movie. I mean, you watch it, it's relaxing. It's slow, but it's calm, and so it's funny a lot of the time. It has its quirks.
One of my favorite moments is when the father is trying to get his son to play ball, to watch us play a game of catch. He's like, no, it's too cold outside. And he says, walk, and it's just the father, like, standing outside alone, throwing the ball against the wall.
Yeah, that was depressing.
There's all these depressing things with the father that are just, it's just like, make you. I don't think
he's trying to bond with his son. He's like, yeah, maybe later.
Maybe later.
I guess I'll go play ball with myself.
All right.
Also, when he was when he had that dream animation where he was kind of fantasizing that he was a superhero later on when he couldn't
like that sequence was pretty good, but then it just pulls out to like right back where we were,
and the music is still playing,
and he's sitting there in a in the park. Just holding a hard hat, sitting on a swing.
Yeah, the scene is what it is there's some bikers, and they go by the house, and, you know, the mother complains. It's like, man, those bikers are so loud. Somebody should go out there and do something.
The grandmother's like, we gotta reason with them, because if we don't do it, someone's gonna call 911 on them, and they're gonna get a record.
So, yeah, she's, like, being nice and considerate for these like, juvenile delinquents, I guess.
And the father's like, no, that's crazy. He's going inside. He's like, okay, it's crazy. You do it.
What? Me? That's...
And it becomes, for a few moments, it becomes this very realistic looking film.
Yeah, they changed. What was that? Was it rotoscoping? Is that what you call it?
I said that there was one sequence that looked like rotoscoping. This was not rotoscoping.
Well, what is it then?
It was just they changed the designs for the film for that moment.
I guess. It looked very realistic. Like, the characters were like 5-6 heads tall. And yeah. They weren't all, you know, like super deformed. But, there's many, many scenes in this movie that are good.
Some of the voice actors, we'll talk about the English stuff for a moment because I enjoy it.
I think they're both about equal.
Yeah, I enjoy the English stuff for what it is, even if this is a very Japanese film.
The Japanese dubbing, I'd say, has, you know, your Japanese language has a lot of nuances in it. Some very few don't transfer over.
Yeah.
But I'd say they almost got it, like, word for word, as far as feeling, the feeling of the
scene. And they've actually got some, they got some decent stars for this film. A well-known voice actor is Trace McNeil, who many know as Agnes Skinner from The Simpsons. They've got former SNL alumni Nellie Shannon. And they've got Jim Belushi.
The other Belushi.
Actually, like, I tend not to enjoy his work for the most part. It's not a personal thing.
Who did Belushi. He voice?
He voiced the father.
Oh, yeah, he's a good voice actor.
Like, but he portrays the character very well in this. I think I enjoy the voice acting.
Yeah, I don't think there's any bad voice acting in this movie. Like who's doing all the localization? This was published by Disney, right?
This is Disney. So, it was a Disney dub.
I guess they've
dub.
Got some...
it was a Disney dub. They always bring in actors like
They
this.
Still have some good voice actors while working under them, I guess.
For Howl's, they brought in Christian Bale.
Who is Christian Bale again?
He was Batman.
In which movie?
The new Batman.
He's in the new one, the Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, yeah, I guess that's not bad.
And they got Billy Crystal for that one, too.
Yeah, that was great. When it's like, and Billy Crystal as Calcifer the Fire. I'm like, wow.
What?
Great. And then I heard his work, and I'm like, hey, he's not that bad. It's not bad at all.
So, going away, so the dub's good. So, if you want to watch this with your family, which it's only a PG film.
I don't know. Don't expect any fighting at all. It's not a shonen anything.
It's just a very relaxing
It's down to earth, and it's
and which is
a good movie.
Which is actually the one point I have against it, is that it's very slow, and it has all it focuses on are these very short stories. They break them up, but they never try to build up anything from the film itself. It's just...
Well, towards the end of the movie, you know.
Towards the end of the movie, they have things to end it with. They have... But there's never anything to build up through the film. There's nothing happening.
Does it have to build up?
I would have liked it if it built up towards something, because really, it leaves a lot to be desired. Film.
No, I think it's just to enjoy. I mean, even towards the end of the movie, it's that the ending song, you know, whatever will be. They said the whole theme of the movie seems just like take things as they are and as they come, and you know, just live life. Don't worry about things. Is what I was saying.
and it's very slow paced. This is how Takahata tends to be.
Whereas other works, like, oh, Brave the Fireflies,
Brave the
Fireflies more serious.
Is very serious, so the slow pacing fits it.
Yeah.
But Pompoko, which is for the most part, has it's
extremely
very,
Japanese
it's,
movie.
It's extremely Japanese, but I really don't. I'm very confused with that movie because sometimes it's extremely serious and sometimes it's extremely silly.
It doesn't know what it wants to be.
Yeah, and the slow pacing doesn't help it. So I'm like, okay, go on.
And when does it get funny?
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen it to tell you the truth, but I guess I can agree with his directing choices.
But
for this movie, it's damn good.
Like the I definitely think that some choices in this movie are very good for the kind of film it wanted to be. So, any last thoughts for this movie?
Excellent art direction. I think making a movie look like this has not been done barely at all, if at all. I think that's a great choice.
The watercolor style?
Well, can you name another thing that's done been done in watercolor style like this?
It's an old short about a snowman.
Well, even if it's not, you know, there haven't been many full feature films.
And
like this, I guess is
Bill
the main
Clinton,
point I'm trying to.
And remember the anime that Bill Clinton does his films in the style.
Bill Clinton? Wait,
Bill Clinton.
Oh, Bill Clinton. Never heard of him.
He's an independent animator. He does his films in a very sketchy style, kind of like this.
Well, all I'm saying is it seems very original. I haven't seen many other directors doing things this way.
The comic strip style is very derogative of, like, I believe most Japanese comic strips at this time.
Well, I like it.
I like it too. I'm just saying that, like, maybe because we're so used to this being foreign to us, it feels more important to us.
Oh, are you trying to say, can you rephrase that?
Well, let's say that.
You're saying we're so used to Japanese, like, art style movies that we're more accepting of things?
It's more foreign to us, this kind of Yamada's art style.
Oh, right. I mean, if you look at any other anime, it doesn't look anything like, say, the name
well,
of
not
anime.
Just foreign to us in terms of how it is as an anime, but how it is as coming from Japan.
Hmm. Well, I guess
well,
I never
well, imagine
at
it like this. Imagine that someone was making a family circus movie.
Would
you go see a family circus
movie? I would never see a family circus movie.
Imagine
ever.
Imagine we were living in Japan and the family circus movie came over there. And we went to watch and we're like, you know, this isn't bad. Like,
I guess, but in Japan aren't they more accepting of that art style and stuff? I mean, aren't there a lot of family movies like this over there? I wouldn't know.
I don't think so. No,
well,
this is very.
Know.
This is a very original
art
style for anime.
It's different. It's very different, but it's good. That's all I can say about it. I wish I could be more descriptive.
Okay.
It's slow, amazing art style. It's well written. Good voice acting. You know, that's all I can say about
and
it.
Actually, one thing I really like, which I haven't said till now, but if you're a CG animator or someone that likes CG, be on the lookout for a few bits of CG animation, which just astounded me, so I could tell it was CG, but they had painted over it so well. But
right, it's almost like they had scanned actual video into a computer and then gone over it with some kind of filter or something.
Yeah,
like
the cake in the opening sequence is CGI.
Right, that looks really good.
That surprised me.
And the fireworks towards the end look really nice, too.
I don't know if that was CG.
I'm not sure if that was either, but hey, it looks good. I like
it. So, My Neighbor the Yamadas. Watch it. If you're a fan of slow-moving films, if you're a fan of Studio Ghibli.
If you're a fan of family movies, if you have brothers or sisters, maybe younger family members,
maybe
even with your parents.
Maybe you show a double feature of My Neighbor the Yamadas and Akira.
No. See, you know what it should have been is My Neighbor the Yamadas and My Neighbor Totoro. Should have done on the same day.
Oh man, I just
the
I
Yamadas.
Feel so stupid now.
My family, the Yamadas, and Totoro should have been the same day.
My Neighbor, the Yamadas. My Neighbor, Totoro.
Yeah,
I just noticed that. I'm so stupid.
Well, that should have been the same. Same thing. That would have been great.
Okay, but
hey, bad timing, I guess. On
bad timing. Well, they wouldn't have made Totoro if it wasn't paired with Fireflies. Because that's just as I said.
It was an extreme contrast. Is why they.
No.
Nope.
Fireflies was a popular book at the time about someone writing about their time during the bombings.
Right. I don't know.
That's
I guess if it was popular, make a movie about it. What else can I say?
Okay.
Alright, well, I guess we're gonna move on to the video game segment. What can I say about Street Fighter?
Well, you know, I've got something.
Go ahead, go with it.
Why does it suck?
You see, I disagree. I don't think Street Fighter sucks, but I can see exactly why you don't like it.
Because I don't spend hours trying to learn every single nuance of strategy and executing moves for a fighting game.
Right. I you know, there's another critic out there that agrees with you that recently touched on this. Yahtzee of Zero Punctuation over at The Escapist. He was talking about Brawl, and even though that has an extremely simple button layout,
it does.
He was like, I don't want to invest like 10 years into coming up with every nuance and every little matchup in a fighting game and still being able to have my ass handed to me somebody who just presses random buttons.
Exactly.
And I guess I can see where that comes, where people are coming like that, but fighting games in general come from a very different background from other video games. They come from the arcade scene, and they are not casual at all.
No.
I mean, they're not party games.
The problem
with
fighting games, and probably the reason why it's diminished so much, is probably because of the death of the arcade.
Well, that is the number one reason I'm going to attribute to it. That
and
everyone's just playing online. Nobody wants to sit
and
at
just for a bit of
house.
History between me and Wing Zero. Wing Zero spent most of his time in arcades.
It wasn't most. It's just I've grown up with a lot of those old school games. When I was growing up, I had just tons of friends who were into games, and we would go to you know, arcades, pizza places, stuff like that.
In Florida
mostly, because in Florida, there was a point where it was like Mexico is now. And Mexico is notorious for being a huge fighting game capital of the world.
Notorious?
I guess famous. Do I know a wrong word use again? In Mexico, you can go to a corner and say, hey, look at all these arcade games. I got three here. I don't feel like playing Street Fighter. Let me go down one block to the other place. And I'll pick up some Fatal Fury or play some Metal Slug with the person over there. And it's not inviting. If you don't know fighting game stuff, it's very hard to get into it. I understand that.
Well, the thing to note about us, which really states well where I'm coming from, is that while Wing Zero comes from this background where arcades were
very prevalent,
were very
and you
prevalent.
Could just go to them and meet with people, have some pizza.
I lived in Chicago, where...
Which is still actually pretty active for
fighting. It's pretty active. We still have a few places, but the places around me were mostly very trashy. They were very expensive, and most of the good games...
Were broken.
Were broken, or being played by groups of rampant teenagers.
I don't know, but those rampant teenager groups, that's kind of who grew up into the people that were like me.
I guess.
It's just, like I said, it's not inviting. If you go into Street Fighter and you don't know what a parry is, or an alpha cancel, or like a grab cancel, Kara canceling, roll canceling, dodging, all these little things, and that's not even added to the regular moves. Like, if you look at, starting out, man, like, even in Fatal Fury was crazy for move commands. Like, what is, I'm trying to think, Geese from Fatal Fury, he's the main mafia boss, his strongest move is light punch, light kick, forward, it was forward all the way to back to forward, light punch, light kick, hard punch, hard kick, then back quarter circle, punch. If you can pull something like that off, and fighting game fans, they will come up with every exploit, every combo just to win, then you can't go against these people. It's impossible to even enter that like, fighting game, like, mentality.
What did you just say?
Yeah, like I said, dude, you can't enter these fighting games because they're not casual, because it's impossible to come up with any of these strategies against people who know all this
stuff.
So
how are these companies still surviving by releasing these games?
Well, I think mainly it's because Japan still has arcades. I mean, they're not as prevalent
as
they used to be.
Aren't the games in arcades that are prevalent more are the music games?
Well, in Japan, I know it's music games like Beatmania, Pump It Up XC, Dance Dance Revolution. Let me think, what else is there? Then you have your fighting game crowds. And you have your, like, arcade racers.
Okay.
And I guess that's about it, but people are just playing online too much now, and that coupled with the fact that arcades just basically don't even exist now, I'd say there's maybe 5,000 countrywide, you know, like...
5,000 is a lot to say.
That's only, like, if you divide it by the states, that's not this not too many per
and
state.
And are most of them, like, mom-and-pop places where it's maybe a few machines?
They're mostly big places. Like, you go to Florida, and you've got arcades that just have, like, 100 machines.
I've seen those. I've seen some of them.
Yeah. I don't know what I can say about Street Fighter. If you do know the nuances and stuff, it's very technical, but it's very satisfying to go up against people who know how to play this game. Like, I wish I could just enter an arcade and, like, play people. Maybe at ASUN. ASUN's going to have a ton of people who are like me, who know how to play these games.
Well, I don't think so. Remember what happened when you were playing Guitar Hero at ASUN?
Oh, yeah, but I'm not a good player
at Guitar
Hero.
You were playing on Medium, and they were impressed.
Oh, and they were impressed?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not awesome at Guitar Hero. Am I just too good at video games that I can play fighting games?
The problem is that you're too good for video games for the average person. But in
yeah, but the
to
average
major
person,
leagues,
I don't know.
Do you remember, have we ever told the story about us entering the Smash Brothers tournament?
Which one? Was it the, are you talking about the GameStop one or the Major League Gaming 2005?
The Major League Gaming one.
Yeah, that was depressing as hell. Major League Gaming 2005, we entered... very casually. It was like $10. We were like, figure, hey, we'll mingle with some people, maybe see someone we know, and play a little Smash Brothers. I got demolished.
I got beat up by a bunch of high schoolers.
Yeah, but we were in high school at the time.
You were. I was a freshman in college.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I was... I'm a little younger than you, but let me think. I don't know. It was. I'm going to say it was depressing, because we get there, and 75% of this gigantic hall is Halo 2... And what was the other shooting game that they won?
Maybe it was Counter-Strike?
I'm thinking it was Counter-Strike Source or Counter-Strike.
I thought it would be Counter-Strike.
And then it was like, we get into the corner, it's like, damn, these are all the people that are playing Smash Brothers? It's like, oh, all right, well, you know, these people look pretty cool. And I entered in as Mewtwo, and he is considered the
worst
character in the game, tied with Pichu. And Pichu hurts himself every movie does, every last movie does. That says a lot. And I got through, I'd say... I got into the middle brackets. I didn't get all the way to the top because Smashboards was hosting it, and they're very like committed to winning. I'll give them that. But I did pretty damn good considering how bad of a character, you know, for matchups are.
Yeah.
And like that was great, but outside of that, nobody really plays fighting games. You go to a tournament or an arcade, and that's it.
Ugh.
I don't know.
But let's go to Street Fighter.
Street Fighter is an excellent game, but like I said, it's almost at the hot. It's almost BS at the highest levels, because if you know every move, it all just comes to matchups. And, like, let's say, how can I explain this? Let's say you're going against somebody in Street Fighter 3. Akuma does the most damage, but he takes the most damage. If you go against a, like, someone using the character that does a lot of damage in response, it's going to be much harder. And then that just comes up to matchups. And then fighting games just become guessing games. And bad matchups in both.
Ooh.
It's just like, eh. At the highest level for fighting games, I think they're just not, you know, that fun. They really aren't. I enter tournaments for fun, but I would never imagine being like Daigo, I think Umehara or something like that, is one of the most famous Street Fighter players just for like one thing he did. What he did, he was at like zero health. And in Street Fighter 3, what you can do to stop an attack is you know how you press back to block.
Yes.
In
Street
Fighter 3, if you choose to parry, which is you press forward before an attack hits you, you take no damage. But he parried like 30 hits in a row from zero damage and like KO'd someone. And I'm like, okay, that's just the best example of how fighting games are just unfair if you can do stuff like that. I don't know. I guess that's why I like Smash Bros. More. There's more randomness to it. So it's not just down to who's better or who's worse. You know, you have a chance to come back at this stuff. I don't know what else I can say about Street Fighter. I really don't. That's just on the fighting stuff in general. I love the characters.
The characters are like coming out of a 70s kung fu movie.
Well, that's how it was. In 1992, Street Fighter 2 came out, and each character was designated to a country.
Yes.
Like Ryu was the Japanese guy. Ken was the rich American. Dalsim was the Indian guy. And they were very stereotypical like that, but over the games, they became better. I like them. You know, I would much rather play Street Fighter than, say, Mortal Kombat, am I right?
Well, Mortal Kombat isn't very good.
It hasn't been good since it's been 2D.
Well,
I'll agree with you with that.
Why don't we go over to Midway? Because it's right in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we live right next to Chicago, and...
We live in Chicago. I live in Skokie.
We're 10 minutes, technically, from Chicago.
Like, we could take a drive right now and get into Chicago.
And then we could get right to Midway, and we could be like, hey, listen, what's with this DC versus Mortal Kombat game? Cut it out. Come on.
They don't care.
They're
getting paid.
Speaking of which, I actually heard from some dude that there are going to be no fatalities in that game. And that was my only draw to try that game. I'm like, I want to rip Batman in half as Superman. They won't let me do it.
That ruins it.
That ruins the entire
game.
That's
the whole concept of Mortal Kombat, is all the violence.
Exactly. Like, you would get people, like, you don't like fighting games, but I'm sure you'd play DC versus Mortal Kombat just for the novelty of killing people like that. But you take that out, and what are you left with? A bad fighting game. I'm not saying Mortal Kombat is terrible, but they've gotten much worse since the 2D games.
Now, I understand that Street Fighter was based on a movie in the 1990s, starring Wendy from the Addams Family.
That's actually incorrect. So let me set things straight.
Is it starring someone else?
You know what? I'm gonna say this about the Street Fighter movie: watch it with some friends to laugh at it if you're a Street Fighter fan,
and possibly drink.
And possibly you're gonna need a lot of drinks, unless you have a good tolerance for bull. That movie is ridiculously... It's a perfect example of taking a license and not caring about what you used in the license. That and the Mario Brothers movie. They paid millions of dollars to make that Mario Brothers movie, and then they're like, hey, listen, we're just gonna use names from characters from Mario Brothers, and we're gonna throw out everything else.
Oh, Mario Brothers.
Man, yeah. I would love to know what Shigeru Miyamoto thinks of that movie.
We're gonna have to find him and ask him sometime.
He would probably understand that it's like, okay, it's Hollywood. They do these stupid things. They have to Hollywood it up. So,
and I
whatever.
Also understand that there was an animated series for the USA. Have you ever heard about that?
Street Fighter has a very long line of very odd merchandising and stuff. Did you know that they made a Street Fighter the movie, the game? It looks like, yeah, for the Sega Saturn.
What?
They took the characters, they take Street Fighter. They take all the characters from Street Fighter and they make them into crappy, like, live action movies. Like, I think Dalsim was like a doctor and, Chun-Li was a reporter and, they made Blanka the green dude. They gave him a backstory where he turned into another character. They're like, yeah, Blanka used to be this other character until he got, like, mutated. And, like, it's a complete outrage to any Street Fighter fan, but it's hilarious at the same time. And they took that, and then they looked at Mortal Kombat, and they're like, well, Mortal Kombat's the only other 2D fighting game that looks realistic. And they drew the characters from the movie, 2D like Mortal Kombat, and then made that into a fighting game.
Okay.
I don't have it, I never will, but it's hilarious to watch if you can find it on YouTube. Back to the cartoon. There were a lot of really bad video game cartoons, too. It seems like video games have this curse about them where you can't make them into another
property
without completely destroying them. I can't think of any. Can you? Let me think. What's been made into a movie? There was a Mortal Kombat movie.
There was a Mortal Kombat movie.
First one was okay. I'll give that to him.
There was
okay.
A Street Fighter movie.
There was a Mario Brothers movie.
There were two Tomb Raider movies.
Yes, there were. They were. The first one was okay, I guess.
I've never seen any of them.
They're not bad. They're just like generic action flicks.
There's been 3 Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, but those are good to watch because they're bad. They're not good movies, and I would have never seen them in theaters. But I saw some of those, and they're just ridiculous. There's a scene in the second movie, and these are based off survival horror games that are based around suspense, quiet scenes, and, like, scare tactics, and sometimes psychological things. And there's this one part where the main character of the movie, who isn't in the games, is running down a building as it's exploding. And I'm not talking about running down steps. I'm talking about going reverse vertical down, running down the side of a building as it explodes.
From this.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
But it's hilarious for how bad it is.
Okay, there was a House of the Dead and Silent Hill movie.
I'll give Silent Hill movie. What can I say about Silent Hill movie? Good camera angles. Bad everything else, I'm going to say. You know, you look at, again, video games are supposed to be extremely immersive sometimes. Like when you try and take a good book. A book can be sometimes 5-10 hours, whatever. And when you try and condense it in something, it loses a lot. That's the same thing I'm going to say with Silent Hill.
There was a,
it's still not terrible.
There was a Doom movie.
There was a Doom movie. Was that Uwe Boll that directed that?
No, that was not Uwe Boll, but that was with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson, otherwise known as The Rock. Yeah. I haven't seen that, but I saw the cover for it.
I want to see it. Like, I want to see it just for that first person sequence I've heard about.
Oh, yeah, where they tried to emulate, like, the... you know, they should have... I would have watched it if they gave you free 3D glasses.
So they're doing...
Here's your popcorn and 3D glasses.
We've been talking about 3D glasses.
They should. I was saying earlier how I didn't like the idea of the 3D Toy Story and stuff like that, that Pixar's doing these 3D movies. Now I'm kind of into it.
Now you're excited.
Now I'm excited because I'm thinking it could just be fun for how wacky it is. It's like, whoa. Did you see that? It jumped right out at me.
Man, wow. That was great.
Oh, I don't know, Street Fighter, it's a fighting game, it's very technical. If you're gonna be playing Street Fighter, don't play it by yourself. Find someone else who can put the time into it, and if you can both start off at the same experience level for not having
and
played
please
it.
Please work out while you're playing this.
How to play the game.
So maybe you can stay in shape, perhaps.
Stay in
have
shape
a normal
for
life,
Street Fighter?
And have a normal life while you're trying to learn how to play this game?
I don't know, it takes a lot of commitment. I'd say stuff like Soul Calibur is a lot more inviting, because that's in a 3D plane, so you can walk around and dodge things. You can back off against people if they're like too in your face. Street Fighter, it's like you're blocked against a wall, and you can block, then you'll get grabbed. And if you try it, then like I said, it's all mind games.
Alright.
Fighting games are good for what they are, but if you can't find somebody that knows how to play it, don't even try. That's my final thought on fighting games in general. And,
really? This is the only fighting game we're ever going to review?
Alright, do you want to talk about Fatal Fury? You've never played that.
Well, you can talk about it.
I guess I can talk about
you
it.
You have more people to buy.
There's tons of stuff. What about Project Justice? We could talk about that. That's pretty wacky.
Yeah.
Team-up attacks. I don't have Marvel vs. Capcom 2 anymore because that game is really unbalanced. That's a good party game, but I didn't have anybody to play with. I don't know. If you guys got ideas on fighting games that you think we could talk about, or any games in general, give us topics. T-Zoc, I know you're listening. Give us some idea for something else. I think you're not going to get a Fatal Fury podcast.
I've already decided what we're doing for next week for animation. We're doing Freakazoid.
Freakazoid, done. Okay.
Done. Unless someone wants to stop me.
No, we're talking about Freakazoid.
Fine.
And, I don't know what the video game thing is.
You'll be talking about Chrono Cross.
I've got a Chrono Cross idea for the podcast in the future.
Do it.
And I've also got, what else? Earthbound. But maybe we're gonna have some special guests come in to help us with those, because those are pretty big games.
Alright, this is Rocket Punch saying you got 87 points out of 500.
And get better at Street Fighter and your fighting games.
Huh. Answer that.
You don't really like fighting games.
No, I don't.
Yeah. I don't blame you. You're not good at them.
Yeah, well...
Want to go play some Brawl?
Yeah, why not? Actually, I've got River City Ransom on the Nintendo Wii.
Oh, on the Wii?
Yeah.
They just released that?
Yeah. Cool. Or the last Short Circuit.
Short Circuit. I'm sorry.
Okay. See ya.
Alright, see you guys around.